Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact. Today I'm drinking Sam Adams Boston Lager. And today we're talking about key takeaways from this year's Future M Conference. We've got a special guest with us here today, Mr. Stephen Russell, Senior Communications Specialist here at Constant Contact. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. We've also got with us the usual band of misfits, starting with...
Azure Calling, the social media education developer.
Known as Yoda throughout these parts.
I'm wearing my blanket today because the office is very, very cold, but I left my mittens at my desk because I couldn't drink with those on.
That's good. What are you drinking today?
I'm drinking a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
I'm Ryan Pinkham. I'm a content developer here at Constant Contact, and I am drinking a Blue Moon.
I am Danielle Cormier, and I am the social media community manager here, and I'm drinking a Blue Moon as well.
Awesome, guys. So, Future M. I guess we should probably start off. I know we've talked about it before last year. See how that works. It's an annual conference, right? Stephen, can you tell us a little bit about what is Future M?
Of course. So it's a three-day conference. It's out right here in Boston, so it's a local conference. They're actually trying to expand it a little bit more. So this year they brought in executives from tech, marketing, all over the country. Mm-hmm. For the event, the M in Future M stands for marketing. So basically, mm-hmm. the conference touches on the future of marketing. They bring together, like I said, executives from all over the country to share ideas, talk about innovation in marketing, mm-hmm. talk about what's coming next, and definitely looking ahead at some of the big trends in the industry.
Awesome. So was there a theme for this year's conference?
There was. It was innovation at intersections.
Okay.
So basically looking at how different pieces of marketing kind of intersect and how innovation is really kind of pushing the marketing industry forward.
Cool. So we wanted to talk a little bit about, I know three of you guys from the group here today actually went to the conference. So we wanted to talk about kind of what your key takeaways were for this year. So Danielle, let's start with you.
Okay. One overlapping theme that I feel like I saw in a lot of the panels was about knowing who your customers are and knowing what their personality is like, what the demographics of the customers that are engaging with you online, and then really knowing their personas and tailoring your content to really fit the personality of your customers and making it more personal and not just about, oh, here's the features of my business's products, but what is an entrepreneur like? How can I make my content meet the needs of that mm-hmm. type of personality?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the things we tend to talk about all the time, right? In terms of just figuring out what types of content to create and really understanding that's your audience, and that understanding what their needs are really helps you create what that content is that resonates. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times people get hung up with, they see something and be like, oh, I don't like that at all. If it's for the right audience, depending on who that is, it's like you might see something and it might not be something that's attractive to you or that you're interested in or that somebody in your audience would like, but somebody else on another side might go absolutely crazy for it. You know what I mean? So it's really about understanding that and looking at who your audience is, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great examples of that throughout the conference. I mean, one of the things we talked about was Linda Boff. She does the marketing stuff for GE, and you mm-hmm. know, she really kind of made it clear, like, people aren't just logging on to GE.com just to do it, right?
Right.
Like, people don't really want your marketing. They're not excited to see it, but they are excited for stuff that's relevant to them, that mm-hmm. helps them solve a problem that's of interest to them. So it's really, again, it comes back to understanding not only your audience, but honestly understanding, like, the context that you're delivering it to them.
Yep.
So, again, get on social media, right? People aren't there to see you promoting your products necessarily. Like,
yeah.
So you think about, okay, who are these people I'm trying to reach? What are they interested in?
Yeah.
And how can I kind of maybe not only speak to those things, but form my message to touch on those things or to fit
yeah.
in there?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that whole starting a conversation thing. You want to be engaging with the topics that your customers, they represent them. Like with GE, it's about science and innovating, and that's the type of people that they're targeting, and they're not selling their washer and dryers, but they're saying let's do a science project.
That was a really interesting thing there, where they kind of made a decision, right? They know that people who are gonna connect them on Facebook are people who are interested in technology, mm-hmm. are, should call them geeks, right?
Yeah.
People who are kind of geeky, who like those sort of things,
mm-hmm.
who would like to see pictures of their giant jet engines in a warehouse, or
yeah.
who would like to participate in they did a science experiment, sending your best like science project on Vine, right?
Yeah.
Like Danielle was saying,
mm-hmm.
it's like they know that that's their audience, so that's who they're trying to speak
to. That's great, yeah.
Not talking about any of their products or anything, but just trying to really engage them in that sort of way.
Yeah,
and that's really interesting. I think you're bringing up a really great point. One of the things that I heard in a couple of different panels was the idea of gamification.
Mm-hmm.
So turning marketing into more of a game for your customers.
Sure.
Like Ryan mm-hmm. just said, you know, posting pictures, you know, and engaging with your audience to have them sort of participate mm-hmm. in whatever it might be, if it's a contest or if it's just something as simple, like you said, as posting a picture to your Facebook page.
Yeah.
The idea of gamification and having that game element always seems to go over really well. And it's interesting because you're marketing to the audience, but and they're participating with the brand, but they're kind of doing it at their own free will,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's not they're being marketed yeah. to, they're participating in the marketing.
Yeah. Because again, it boils down to the stuff that they find relevant and valuable to them. You know, one of the quotes here that I found doing some research for Future M here was from Linda Boff, and it's about, she said that it's never about the biggest audience, it's about the right audience. And I think that's very powerful, especially for a small business who might get seduced by or feel defeated by looking at the businesses out there that are bigger than them or have more followers, have more people on Facebook, are getting more views to their website. But the reality is that the big number doesn't really matter as much as long as you're focusing on the right people for your business and you're connecting with them, like that's where the real power comes in. And I would take 10 people or 10 followers that fit that right audience for your particular business over 1,000 of just random likes or mm-hmm. fans or something like that. So that's, I think, a really powerful thing to think of.
I think that's a good point for small businesses where you could probably mention your customers by name, mm-hmm. you know who they are. Big companies can't do that. They don't
yeah,
have time to
when
get
they
to know
look at the
people
who comment on a post, if they have 100 comments, they don't know who to answer to, who matters, who's a real fan. Or when you're a small business owner, you say, oh yeah, I remember this purchase you made or this experience that I had with you in the store. And you can really let that shine, I think, as a small yeah. business owner.
And I think, you know, this is kind of a theme we see just developing week to week. You know, last time when we talked about kind of secure search and those types of things, it really boiled down to like, you know what, you're going to be getting less information about the types of keywords and things like that that people are coming in. But what you're really looking to do is really try to create content that answers the questions that your people are looking for. And I mean, I think we see this every day when we have webinars and things like that. Like Azure will come in, she'll create a blog post based off questions that we've got in those webinars. And that's the same thing with, you know, Danielle will have, you know, people engaging on with us on Facebook, and we'll create content based on the different types of engagement that we have there.
And we know that it works because those kinds of posts get a lot of clicks and they live on long after
yep,
they've been published.
Absolutely. So cool. So great advice there. So really get to, you know, don't make it about people and know who those people are for your business. And I think you'll all those kind of like other things that happen and the changes that happen will kind of take care of themselves. Ryan, what about you for key takeaways?
So through a lot of these sessions, and again, to hit on this GE session, which was really one of the, you know, best ones of the conference, I mm-hmm. thought, and which will sound strange, right? If you're a small business marketer, you know, paying attention, it's one of the largest companies in the world. But, you know, their presentation there was about building a transparent brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting, especially for like a small business, right? Because like we're just kind of talking about, that's such a natural thing for small businesses.
Yeah.
You know, they know you, they know the people behind you, they interact with you every day, right? But I think it ties a lot into a lot of the content you're sharing, but also just being upfront with your customers, right? So maybe if something goes wrong in your store, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you're doing some sort of promotion, you say there's going to be X number of things here, it doesn't work out or something like that.
Yeah.
Not hiding from it, right? Facing it and you're saying, hey, you know, we screwed up here, we're going to do something else. Be
yeah.
really transparent in any way that you can,
yeah.
I think is a huge advantage for small businesses.
And just as you mentioned, just letting people know what's happening. You know, sometimes that's mm-hmm. all people need to know is just have some type of explanation. You know, you're probably sick of hearing me tell the story already, but mm-hmm. I've been talking about this a lot. Like recently went to a concert and was waiting in line, and they were just kind of mismanaged in how they were kind of operating the place, and was waiting in line for food, missing parts of the show, waiting a long time when they didn't have any food left. Like, why didn't you just like put up a sign or say, hey, everyone waiting in line for food, we don't have food right now, so you can at least make some other arrangements or do something with, and like, you know, just saying that, you know, sure, I might have been upset you didn't have food, but I would be less upset than getting all the way to the front of the line after a half an hour and then you tell me you don't have food. Like, what stopped you from being transparent and just saying, hey, we don't have it, so that I can make a decision? You know what I mean? So it's just like just letting people in on what's happening.
Yeah.
It's sometimes all it takes to really make a big difference.
I don't think it has to be when you mess up either.
No,
The stuff behind the scenes, people are interested in that. You see it every day, you're used to it, but people outside of the business think that it's cool. They like to see how things are made or like what goes on in the store, why you chose to do a display the way you did. those little things are so easy to do. We just snap a photo with your phone and then just upload it to social media and say, like, check out what's going on with us today.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes people feel part of the brand, I think. It makes people, it makes consumers feel like they are a part of the business, and it will make people come back because they feel like they're a part of that community there. And if they have that feeling, then, you know, why wouldn't you go back to somewhere where you feel like you're a part of something?
Yeah. It's like they get to know the people. Like, they're really having this, you know, they observe, they know what's going on, and they have a relationship with them.
Yeah, I think that connection is made when you can relate with the post. So if you are having a stressful day or short on time, like, oh, it's the day before Thanksgiving, I'm so stressed. If you want to post that, why not? Other people are going to relate and appreciate you being transparent, I think.
Don't we see that, like, everywhere nowadays, though? It's like your favorite TV shows, right? All the actors are on social media, so you kind of get to look in behind the scenes there, right?
Yeah, they're taking like shots between sports scenes,
like celebrities, all this stuff.
Yeah, it's
like,
fun, yeah.
Yeah, there's a negative side to some of that stuff as well, but it's like people appreciate that, right? That's the world we live in. No one, one of the quotes she had, it's, you know, we've kind of gone from being like a walled garden to now it's sort of an open field, right?
Yeah.
Where you want people to be able to come and go and see what you have going on and not feel like you're just letting things out as you sort of want them to be out there.
Mm-hmm. It's just a chance to really connect on another level with the things that you really care about, you know? And I think that's really a great thing. And I think something that small businesses a lot of times do have a huge advantage over others because they do have those one-to-one connections right off the bat. So Stephen, what about yourself? How about some key takeaways for you?
Yeah. So one of the themes that we heard in a couple of different sessions there was the topic of big data.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sessions that we attended on the last day was specifically focused on small businesses. And it was interesting. You know, I think a lot of what we were talking about before about, you know, creating content that is, you know, directly for your customers and getting to know your customers in one way, shape or form, that's kind of big data because it is taking, you know, information. It's taking, you know, it may not be numbers, but it's information about your customers. And then it's translating into what you might do with your marketing. So I think that's kind of interesting. And one of the big takeaways for me from that session was especially the insights from the analytics. So basically, you know, we all know, you know, small businesses are time starved. They're very, very busy throughout the day. Big data thing seems very, very daunting.
Yeah.
So I think it's really on companies, you know, analytic companies, you know, even Constant Contact, to make sure that they're giving small businesses the actions out of the big data. Mm-hmm. So we have these numbers. Here's what you can do with that information. So kind of making it, packaging it for anybody to use and really kind of harness.
Well, it's all about, you know, finding that you have that information, but it's also about asking the right questions for that information. You know, one of the another interesting quote that I found from somebody from Jay Pattisall regarding the FutureM conference was one of the quotes that he said was that instead of asking what's the right thing to measure, we should be asking what's the right thing to get people to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, it kind of changes that, right? You're looking at, like, you're thinking about numbers, but then when you're starting to think about, okay, what is it that I want somebody to do? It starts to make a lot more sense to you, like in an organic level where you'd be like, all right, if somebody comes to my website or I send out this email, what is the action that I want them to take? And then working back from there, trying to figure out, okay, what do you need to give them to do that? Really kind of helps you understand what, well, okay, well, if I want them to take this action, these are the things I should be looking at to figure out if I'm doing that, or these are the things I need to do. Really changes the way you kind of approach the thing in a less, if you're not a numbers person, in a less abstract way almost, you know?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people think, oh, I should be looking at my analytics, and then they just pull all these numbers and they're like, oh, here it is. Now what do? I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I think you have to outline what's my objective like. Why do I want to pull any of these numbers before you do? Say, I want to look at the engagement. I want to look at what people are buying, what they're clicking on, and then pull the numbers. So then you have a plan of what you're going to take away from those numbers that you're looking at.
Yeah.
I think it can also apply to things like writing a post or sharing a piece of content. The words you use can help decide, you know, to guide people as to what you want them to do, or what you say can really help shape that post and get that reaction that you want.
Yeah.
I think in all of these things, again, I would argue that small businesses in a lot of ways are, again, at an advantage over the bigger businesses, right? Where you may not be able to pay millions of dollars to work with a big, you know, stats company or anything like that, but you can see consumer behavior way better than a large bank can, right? Because they're looking at things from a national level. You're working on a local level.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see those things. I mean, one of the examples someone gave was just like a repeat customer coming in, and then, you know, so next time that person comes in, you know what to offer them, right? You know, okay, maybe you're starting to put that into your marketing. So yeah. You know that this group of people that have been, you know, clicking on these links in your emails, sure. You know what to send them there. Yeah. So you see on so much of a smaller level, yeah. But that's really when you can make the data like actionable and you right. can really see that it works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point because I feel like, you know, you take, just as an example, you take a large, big brand retailer and, you know, they're going to look at a lot of different data points. They're going to look at a lot of different patterns and you know, buying perhaps or things like that. But because they have, you know, they're huge organizations, they're going to make generalities about certain groups of people. Like mm-hmm. you said, Ryan, I mean, if you're a small business, you know, Bob comes in every Tuesday to get his, I don't know, large decaf or something like that. You know specifically what he comes in for every day. You know him by name. Mm-hmm. And that's just something, frankly, that a lot of these, you know, these big brands, they can't mm-hmm. do. And so, like you said, it's definitely a leg up.
Yeah. And then one of the big things I think, you know, and one of the pieces of advice we offer to small businesses is that, like, yeah, you know, sometimes it is hard to figure out how to take action on those things, right? And really, I think what it boils down to, it's a combination of all of these things that we've talked about before. But if you know who your best customers are, the people that you enjoy working with, that you're happy that come to your store all the time, focus on them. Mm-hmm. Focus on the things that will be helpful, useful, valuable to them, or just get their attention, right? You focus on them, you're going to attract more people like those people, and you'll also get people that are around the edges as well, too. But if you focus on them, they can be the kind of the guiding light for you on what types of things that you should do. Because those are the people that ultimately, at the end of the day, that you want to continue to work with and continue to have to help grow your business, right? So, cool. So we've talked about big takeaways for this year for FutureM Conference is really about knowing your audience, being transparent when it makes sense to and when you can, and then also, you know, using the information that you get from the actions that people take in terms of big data and looking at those in a way that you can actually take action on and help grow your business. Anybody got anything else to add in there? Or you think we're good there with that? That sums it up pretty good?
I think that sums it up pretty good. I mean, because it's a perfect time to start thinking about a lot of these things if you haven't already, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of this is comes back to like planning. So
yep.
Starting to think about knowing your audience, you know, thinking about how you're going to be a more yeah. transparent brand in the yeah. in the months to come and how yep. you're going to start collecting the data you need to make smarter decisions through yep. the rest of the year, through the holidays, into the new year.
Yep, definitely heading into the new year, and it's a good time to really start thinking about these things so you can start making your plans on how you're going to achieve your goals for next year and kind of go above and beyond that. So with that, thanks again so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.